It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in on the EPA's understanding of PFAS contamination, what scientists are learning about forever chemicals. Now let's turn to our year-end membership drive. I'm here with Rob Ferret in the Morning House. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Kate. Good to be here.
All right. Well, Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported, and so your gift now will ensure the programs you rely on have a strong start in 2023. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-255.
This is the last day of the last member drive of the year, your last chance to give during the morning show. So we'd love to hear from you and make sure we have the funding we need for all the programs you rely on.
And we'll meet our goals each hour, one donation at a time. Let's start with yours at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
What does public radio mean? It means listener-supported radio.
And while we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars in the mix, it is listener support that is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Your contribution in any amount, it really matters at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give. It feels good to know that you're part of making something special happen.
So make your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month and enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio. And it starts with your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Some people think we shouldn't mention great art and money in the same breath. But George Friedrich Handel would disagree. Handel was a shrewd businessman as well as a successful artist. His most famous piece, Messiah, was part of a canny business strategy. When opera got too expensive to produce, he switched to religious oratorio. Same drama, same style of singing, but without the expense of sets and costumes. What if someone said to Handel, the entrepreneur, "Why don't you let the audience listen first, then pay later, at whatever amount they choose?" I don't think he would have gone for it. And yet that's precisely the business model public radio has thrived on for years. Make a financial contribution to this station right now in any amount. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Your support during this year-end member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Giving to WPR is easy. It takes just a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, maybe $10 a month.
And that donation will come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Looking for 15 gifts, 15 people to join in by the end of this hour on this last day of the year-end member drive. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for all the programs you rely on.
And how about choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and provide hunger relief to people in your community.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get it started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A big shout out to Raymond in Superior, who says, "I especially appreciate all the news of the state government that is explored in depth by well-prepared and skillful morning show team."
Yay.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Fantastic, Raymond. Thank you so much. And yeah, being not part of that team, I could brag about them. A great job, Kate, and the producers, the technical director. A lot of work goes into making this show look easy and be awesome. You get it, Raymond. You help pay for it. How about you? Support Kate and the Morning Show team with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And now we look at what you can do to fight PFAS at home, the harmful forever chemicals detected in dozens of sites around Wisconsin and water sources actually nationwide. Call in about PFAS, your questions for the Environmental Protection Agency, 800-642-1234. Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tom Speth is Associate Director of the EPA's Center for Environmental Solutions and Emergency Response. Tom, welcome to the Ideas Network. Hi, Tom. Can you hear us?
Oh, yes. Sorry. My headset was muted. Thank you very much.
That pesky mute button. Okay. Well, what should households do if they're concerned about PFAS being in their drinking water?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So, you know, it really depends on, you know, if you feel that you want to address this compound. There are some home treatment systems that you could employ, and you would want to look at making sure you get the right one and applying it correctly and operating it correctly. If this is a concern for you. So there are some remedies. You can also work with your local water utility and see what their response is. And noting that this is somewhat of a complex issue with PFAS because it's a group of contaminants, and you'd want to become educated within that area and knowing which PFAS you want to remove and down to what level.
Right, because, you know, we see some communities here in Wisconsin still on bottled water over a year and a half later after learning their well was contaminated. So what steps should you take if you do learn that your drinking water is contaminated at unhealthy levels?
Yeah, so the first thing, if you want to install, say, a point-of-use device in your sink, you know, you can go to the stores, and what you'd want to do is you'd want to look for a unit that has been NSF tested, NSF International. So you look for the symbol, and for PFAS, that label would be P473 is their PFAS testing protocol that they test home treatment systems to. Now, that test has certain protocols and has some things you might want to be aware of, but first you'd want to look for that. And there's been literature out there that have been published, some from the EPA and some from other groups, that suggest that a well-designed and operated point-of-use device will be effective for removing a large majority of PFAS. So that's what I would recommend. If you're interested in doing more at your household level, go to the store, look for a system. There'll be a number of systems out there that you could purchase and with different capabilities within those systems. And that would be a private, you know, whether or not you want automatic shutoff valves when it reaches the level that the unit's been certified, et cetera, et cetera. But there are some systems out there that somebody could go and purchase.
But is there complete removal possible? Like, what should consumers be concerned about if your PFAS levels are low where they may escape detection or current treatment methods?
Yeah, you know, that's an outstanding question. Because, you know, the health effects, and I'm not a health effects person within EPA, but the health effects data that have been released suggests that the levels of concern are very, very low, below the detection limit of what can be measured. And that's what's out there in literature right now. Now, this has been done before by the agency. There are many contaminants that have maximum contaminant level goals that are below what they're regulated at. So the agency, US EPA, has dealt with these types of issues in the past many times. But a person who is concerned about, you know, I don't even know if this is still in my water because we can't even measure it. You know, that's a very reasonable concern. One would, again, if you move toward these devices that are NSF certified, and they're certified at certain levels, and NSF International is currently working on additional protocols that can be even more conservative in terms of treatment or more proactive in terms of treatment. But the contaminants will remove a fair bit of the PFAS that we can measure. And part of the problem with the PFAS is that PFAS are a group of contaminants, and they're a wide group of contaminants. And there are only analytical methods for, say, the EPA has, say, 29 or so contaminants that have EPA method, the EPA protocol for analyzing them. Other types of methods can bring that up to 50 or so or 60, but there are hundreds and thousands of PFAS. So it is a very interesting field. We don't know the health effects for the vast majority of those. Some of them that have been in the news show health effects at low levels. Others, perhaps not so low, but there's a lot of work yet to be done on which PFAS are of concern. And that's where the issue stands.
And that count rising now over 12,000 in that class of chemicals, that the EPA has classified. Tom Speth, Associate Director of the EPA's Center for Environmental Solutions and Emergency Responses. We look at methods of removing PFAS from the environment. Be part of the conversation. Your questions, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We talk about efforts to remove harmful chemicals known as PFAS from drinking water with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Now let's check in on our year-end membership drive. I'm here with Rob Ferret. It is the last day of the drive here on the Ideas Network. You count on WPR for these in-depth, crucial discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference, both this year and as we head into 2023, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are off to a great start this morning. 40 minutes left now, looking for 10 more people to join in by the end of the hour. When you give, you fund The Morning Show and all the other WPR programs that you count on. Give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, we're talking directly with the EPA about this PFAS crisis in drinking water and what Wisconsin families should do. I mean, this is a vital conversation about a fundamental need that is clean drinking water for everyone. These are the kinds of critical conversations that you can count on from The Morning Show.
And WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation makes these topics, these important conversations possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
And become a sustainer. Choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or credit card. It'll continue for as long as you'd like.
Because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without. Make your support ongoing with a sustaining gift. It's convenient and it's a flexible tool. Get started right now. Give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Since 2010, WPR members have provided more than 400,000 meals through Food Bank Thank You Gifts. Join together with your fellow WPR members this drive to provide hunger relief to people in your community. Ask for one of the Food Bank gifts with your donation of $10 or $20 a month. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in this year-end member drive, last day. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. The WPR programs you enjoy, they're possible thanks to your support and your contribution now of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you set it at, it makes a difference for our entire community.
This is the last day of our year-end member drive. It ends at 6 o'clock. o'clock tonight. Your financial support during this hour is super important on this last day of the drive.
And your gift is a big part of what makes the morning show possible and really all the programs you rely on and enjoy possible on WPR. So take action right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When 10 more people support WPR programs in the next 40 minutes, we will meet our goal this hour. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such a big deal.
And how about choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and provide hunger relief to people in your community.
If you are a sustaining member, thank you so much for your ongoing support of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can also make today the day you increase your support of WPR. Bump it up by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. Online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
A big shout out to William in Wausau, says WPR is my favorite morning station. William, thank you. Diane in Eau Claire says I rely on you daily. Thank you for your excellent work every day.
Thanks, Diane. Thank you, William. How about you? You count on us for great conversations each and every day here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your very important gift. It really does make a difference. It keeps us going strong into the new year. It takes just a few minutes online at WPR.org, or you can make a quick phone call at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The EPA says it's taking a whole-of-agency approach and holding polluters accountable as it published a progress report recently on how it's addressing a group of over 12,000 human-made toxic chemicals. Call in with questions on PFAS for the EPA, 800-642-1234. Tom Speth is Associate Director of the EPA's Center for Environmental Solutions and Emergency Response and stays with us. Tom, we've been hearing about different technologies, and you talked about these filter systems and their designations. We've also heard about granular activated carbon systems, and some municipalities are putting those in. Should households depend on their municipality to make these treatment upgrades or take matters into their own hands by trying to buy their own filtration system for their own taps?
That's a very good question. Of course, it's a community by community issue, and also a household by household issue. But if one was concerned, if this is something that in looking at your local situation, if you have concerns about your drinking water, purchasing a home treatment device is a perfectly reasonable approach, a point of use type device. For your home, they can be installed for many different reasons. Some people put them in for taste and odor, some for specific contaminants they're concerned about in their community, and PFAS would be one of them. So make sure that when you go get a system or go buy a system, that it's correctly rated. There are a couple different types of technologies out there. Granular activated carbon, you mentioned, mm-hmm. is a viable candidate. Their anion exchange is known to be effective for a wide range of PFAS. One note there is that it's a specific type of ion exchange, so it's called anion exchange. So you want to remove the negatively charged molecules such as PFAS. Whereas many people have water softeners, which are cation exchange systems. So don't count on your water softener to take out PFAS. Okay. The third category of technologies that are out there is reverse osmosis membranes or nanofiltration membranes, high pressure type membranes, and those you can find for under sink units also.
looking at the EPA publishing last month the fifth contaminant candidate list, expanding the definition of PFAS to include thousands of individual chemicals for future regulation. What does it mean as a chemical is added to this list?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, that's I'm with the Office of Research and Development, and so our program office, the Office of Groundwater and Drinking Water, handles the CCL issues, so they can address that more in a legalistic and perhaps better way than I can. However, you know, adding that to the CCL, adding CCL5 is part of the program of moving toward collecting information on contaminants of concern. There are other programs out there for drinking water. For instance, the UCMR5 or uncontaminated monitoring rule.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be put in place in the next year, and it'll be measuring 29 PFAS at a large number of utilities, including small utilities across the nation. And that's where we'll get a real outstanding viewpoint on the occurrence of PFAS across the nation. Select number of PFAS were included
UCMR. When are those monitors going in? I just want to clarify.
Yeah, so water utilities will be expecting to, or will be analyzing for 30 contaminants coming up in UCMR5. That will be starting in approximately a year. And that data will happen over a long period of time, a year, at least a year, and it'll contain 30 contaminants. In UCMR5, it's 29 PFAS that we have on EPA methods for, and the 30th contaminant is lithium.
Okay. Tom, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Tom Speth, Associate Director of the EPA's Center for Environmental Solutions and Emergency Response. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Fans around the world, they're taking in the FIFA World Cup, and we explore what the impression is on youth and kids' soccer. Now let's get an update on our year-end membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm with Rob Ferret, and now is your time to take action. Set your favorite programs up for success in 2023 with your gift on this last day of the year-end member drive. Maybe you've already given this year, or you make ongoing monthly gifts. Today, make a special year-end gift for the programs you rely on all year long. Takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are about halfway through the hour and about halfway to our goal, looking for 8 more people now to join in by the end of the hour on this last day of the last drive of the year. Thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
Listening to the Ideas Network can be a lot like going out for coffee with a smart friend. It's enjoyable. It's informative. It stimulates your curiosity.
And look, someone has to pay for it. You make the conversations on the Ideas Network possible with your financial gift. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine, maybe a cup of coffee or your favorite snack.
Mm-hmm. The snacks. Consider, though, the news, the information, and the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. Maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month is just the right donation for you. Sign up now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs you enjoy every day.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater. I like Wisconsin Public Radio because it has this focus on all things Wisconsin, which is very helpful for learning the culture of the state. And then also, once you're here, it helps you feel connected to the community. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it was easy and I didn't have to think about it. And I knew every month I didn't have to make a conscious choice to do what is right. It just happens. Like, if I am listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this much, I should be giving back to it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is the year-end member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Verrett. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you love. And that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
Don't look now, but 2023 is right around the corner. And as we look ahead to a whole new year, we are super grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. One gift at a time, you, listeners, provide our largest source of funding. If you haven't given yet this current year, now's the time. If you have given this year, we appreciate your extra year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have seven gifts to go this hour. We can get there in the next 20 minutes or so. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It ensures a bright future for the programs that you rely on.
You can do two great things at once, because when you give, you can choose one of the food bank gifts. When you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make a difference for WPR and you provide hunger relief to people in your community.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. Easy to set up. Convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations. We count on you to help pay for it. Give now, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You know, our kids have caught the World Cup bug. Maybe yours have as well. We've been talking about what they see on the field, in the stands, as the best players in the world. They play their hearts out in Qatar. Also, they get injured. Conversation is here on World Cup, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Gavin Egan manages the Youth Strikers Program for Toca Madison. Gavin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, thank you.
Well, here we are, the U.S. on to the knockout round, taking on Netherlands tomorrow. What should kids be watching for in this game?
Oh, I think they should be looking for a great match between two scrappy, young, talented teams. Netherlands was looked at as the dark horse to win it, but I think the U.S. has a pretty good chance of knocking them out of the tournament.
Okay, so you said scrappy and young, and the U.S. men's national soccer team that says it's by far the youngest team qualifying for World Cup. What are the benefits of having a young team?
They don't know their own limits yet. So they're also like coming into their creative own, I guess, would be another thing I would say about them. Yeah. Also, just resilience. I mean, if you look at what happened with Christian Pulisic on the last goal, he took a pretty hard hit, and he's bouncing back, and hopefully be ready for this next match. But yeah, resilience.
Yeah, you know, in the post-game interviews after defeating Iran, you could see their confidence. You could see a bit of swagger, like they're feeling like the underdog scenario is working well for them. What is your prediction when they have that kind of feeling as they go out, you know, on the field against Netherlands?
Anything can happen in a day. Like, they could be the better squad and still lose. That's how soccer works, unfortunately. But I'd say, like, what I like about them is that they've had that swagger, but they're not cocky. You know, they still have a little humility to them. And that's actually really good modeling for, like, kids in general. Have confidence, but don't get cocky.
What would you do if you were coaching the U.S.? What would be your advice to Coach Berhalter, you know, as he tries to put together this another winning, you know, tactical approach on the field against Netherlands?
Man, I wish, well.
You wish you could be there, right?
Yeah,
wish be in his shoes.
right. If I would... I would play a different formation than he's been playing. He really has been forcing a 4-3-3, which four defenders in the back, three in the midfield, and three attacking, which puts a lot of pressure on our defenders to find targets, which they don't often do for their club teams. But he's pulled it out so far. So, you know, I actually would hold my tongue. Like, I wouldn't tell him what I think about that. Really, I honestly, sometimes it's best to step back. And when your team is playing well, wait to make comments or corrections until like that first halftime. Get them revved up. Get them knowing that reinforce their confidence before the match, and then at half, step up and say what you see with an older set of eyes with a little bit more wisdom.
Well, let's take a call. Yeah, Willem is joining us from Eau Claire. Willem, what would you like to bring up?
Hi, I'm an immigrant to this country and from the Netherlands, and. You know, the Netherlands has been a soccer power for a long, long time, often called the best team to never win the World Cup. But this year, I think the United States has a really good team, the best team I've ever seen the United States bring to the World Cup. And, you know, soccer in the United States has come a long way. When I was a kid and they would play soccer in grade school, it was just everyone would kick at the ball. But, you know, that's not how you play the game. It's gotten so much better. So I'm kind of conflicted. I think the Netherlands, you know, they have a great defense with Virgil de Jong. And so I think it'll be a great game to watch. The Netherlands has been playing kind of subpar. They haven't been playing at their best level. And their star striker, Memphis, has been limited. But I think the United States has got a real chance. They, you know, drew a draw with England, which was the ranked fifth mm-hmm. in the world. So
well, it's fun to hear your analysis, Willem, and you know, kind of feel how conflicted you may be about the game. And you bring up a really great question I want to pose to Gavin. You know, has soccer come a long way in the U.S.? What do you see?
Absolutely. So I started playing the sport when I was 4, and I'm 42 now, you know, getting up there. And it has absolutely changed. We've went from like not really a soccer nation to absolutely a soccer nation. And that's in large part to not just the men's team, but the women's team, of course, which is very strong. And it's really amazing to see, again, this young team go from not making it 4 years ago to making it and flourishing in the group stages. Also, just the level of play around Madison, where I coach, has gone up over the last 10 years. It's nice to see everybody engaged. And also the beautiful thing about the sport is that you only need like a ball to play, right?
I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment. Gavin Egan, youth soccer manager for the Strikers program at TOCA Madison. You can join in on the U.S. as it approaches its World Cup Netherlands game tomorrow, 800-642-1234. Gavin, you mentioned Pulisic and that goal against Iran. You know, that's like how legends are born, right? That he throws himself at the ball and then in the process gets himself really rocked, really injured with that pelvic contusion. So, you know, what should we be watching for there if Pulisic can play and can get on the field? And what about this type of injury?
I mean, I honestly don't know much about pelvic contusions. I read about it. It sounds like he's got a bruised bone, like that's protecting his pelvic area. I am not a doctor. I just play one on the radio. I'm hoping that he, like, if you see him moving well, I guess is what I'm saying, that you'll see him back to like being his own normal self. He's a pretty tough player in general. He's been fun to watch grow as a player too. And then the other thing is I'd look to see other his teammates step up. Like, we have an extremely talented squad. Like, just looking at it in general, I've loved watching Tyler Adams play, Weston McKinney, and Sargent, who actually might be out. Yeah, exactly. I'd really like to see Gio Reyna get some minutes. Tim Way is the son of a legend and also coming into his own right. I'm not going to quite call him a legend yet. And then Sergio Dest, like, assisted his goal and is just screams up and down the side of the field as a back. So it's been really fun to see. And then, I mean, their back line's been fairly solid with just one mistake versus Wales. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking to see in this next game.
I want to get your advice about injuries and how we talk with our kids about the injuries that they're seeing these players succumb to on the field. Some pretty major and some, you know, minor, but still hurting. And watching one of these players in pain, it's hard for me as a parent sitting next to my 8-year-old. I mean, there are some conversations we need to talk about in the roughness of sports, in the roughness of soccer and putting a body in peril. How should I broach that conversation?
I think as your kiddo brings it up, but also if you see something like, I mean, unfortunately, the Suarez incident where he like bit a player, like, I don't know if it was last couple of World Cup before, I've listened to parents engage around that subject. I've engaged with my players. I mean, you need your opponent to play the game. It's a conversation between you and them. And the ref, you them and the official, you co-create the game. So you always need that. Now at the highest levels, like, no one should be playing that way even though you're going all in, right? Like, no one should be deliberately brutal or dirty. It's supposed to be the beautiful game, right? And so there's a couple different conversations. There's the sportsmanship conversation. And then there's, if you hurt yourself playing, like if you hit your head, we have a whole concussion protocol that we follow as coaches, and we don't want to put anybody at risk when they're little. Mm-hmm. As you grow older, like you do want to be tough on the ball. You do want to go into a challenge physically, but not with the intent to hurt the other person. And you want to make sure that you're keeping yourself safe while you're playing and going into challenges. And as you get older, like those injuries add up too. So
are you speaking from a little bit of an experience there?
Yeah, I've done a lot. I've got a list. I got a laundry list.
Let me ask you this. Why should kids get involved in soccer?
Oh man, why should they get involved in soccer? I mean, where I work, we want everybody from 1.5 to 75 at Toca Madison. We want them all playing, right? But getting them involved, it's really like, how do I move my body? How do I learn how to use my body in the appropriate way to get what I want to get done on the field? And then like some people, it resonates with them and they explore the space on the field with the ball and their teammates. And I can't say enough good things about engaging with it. I've been playing it since I was 4 and I've always wanted to be a professional soccer player. Now I'm just a professional coach. and I think it's a gift like that you can give yourself. If you start, one of the things I always tell my players, and the World Cup exemplifies this, is that it's like soccer is a language that is spoke throughout the world. So I've been like, I was doing master's work in Peru and playing pickup games and playing in El Salvador, like in the middle of a grass field. Like you can transcend a lot of different conflicts just by playing the sport.
Well, Gavin, where will you take in the game tomorrow against the Netherlands?
Oh, man. So I've got to run classes. So I've got to run classes all weekend. And I will be catching the first half and then be running a class for 8 and 9-year-olds or 2-year-olds. I can't quite remember my schedule. Yeah, we'll either be doing like a swim lesson and the parents will be talking about the game. And if that's the case, we might have someone streaming it near the field. So tomorrow I'll be at work. And it'll be a good environment. It's going to be really fun to see the youth teams coming in for league play and then like engaging with like the TVs that we have on there. And then the parents also cheering it on. It's also been really fun to see like I have three players that moms from the Netherlands. And I was like, who are you going to root for? And they're like, it's going to be tough. Like, it's caught in between a rock and a hard place.
Oh, Gavin, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Gavin Egan is youth soccer manager for the Strikers program at Atoka Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it is the year-end membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret, and our message to you on this last day of the drive is that your financial support is the foundation for all these great discussions you enjoy here every day. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2022 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Coming to the end of this hour, looking for six more people to join in the next few minutes. We can do it and hit that goal. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on each and every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last conversation, we learned about, you know, what's going on at the highest levels of soccer right now in the World Cup with a big game this weekend, but also soccer in our daily lives, from the kids playing through high school and college, as my kids did and continue to do. It's something that connects your daily life with things going on all over the world. And that's the kind of conversation you can count on here on The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the wealth of topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
During this member drive, we have a special offering. Ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month. Your donation to WPR will power essential news, quality entertainment, and your thank you gift then will provide hunger relief to people in your community. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You learned a lot from listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this year.
I learned that democracy is at risk, and I learned that I valued democracy.
I learned about a lot of neat places on Wisconsin Life, places I've since visited.
One of my favorite segments was the science of purring on Central Time. I always love learning cat facts.
Preserving my garden vegetables from this lady who was so passionate about preserving garden vegetables. She made me fired up.
Here's one more fact before the year ends. The largest source of funding for the news, conversations, and music on WPR is listener support. Your support. Now that you know, make your year-end contribution for WPR. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
This is the last day of the last member drive of 2022. That means it's your last chance to give during the morning show with Kate. Show your support for the work that Kate and her team do each and every weekday here on the Ideas Network. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
WPR is probably a preset in your home or car, maybe your home and your car, right? You listen to WPR a lot. So help pay for the station you enjoy so much. Become a member today.
Make the transition from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. It can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're making some great headway in this hour. We have just a few moments left to stay on track as we try to meet our hourly goal, WPR listener powered. It's the 11th hour of this member drive. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
grab the thank you gift, the food bank thank you gift, when you give 10 or 20 bucks a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Provide some hunger relief to people in your community.
Alice in Greenfield says, I love the accurate information I can trust. Susan in Monona says, I download WPR podcasts to drive around with. Your gift right now, so important, WPR.org. And thank you so much for your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio.